Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are continuing our study of the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. Acts 16, 16. This is God's word. "Once, as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune-telling. As she followed Paul and us, she cried out, 'These men who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation are the servants of the Most High God.' She did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the spirit, he said, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out right away. When her owners realized that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Bringing them before the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, 'Don't harm yourself, because we're all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. When daylight came, the chief magistrate sent the police to say, 'Release those men.' The jailer reported these words to Paul, 'The magistrates have sent orders for you to be released. So come out now and go in peace.' But Paul said to them, 'They beat us in public without a trial, although we are Roman citizens, and threw us in jail. And now are they going to send us away secretly? Certainly not. On the contrary, let them come themselves and escort us out.' The police reported these words to the magistrates. They were afraid when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to appease them, and escorting them from prison, they urged them to leave town. After leaving the jail, they came to Lydia's house, where they saw and encouraged the brothers and sisters, and departed." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is one of my favorite stories. I say that fairly often because I love the whole Bible, but this is one of my favorite stories. Once, as they were on their way to prayer, they picked up an unwanted PR person, public relations. This demonized slave girl made a lot of money for her owners. She was a slave owned by others. She made a lot of money for her owners by predicting the future. She was able to predict some things about the future because she was demonized. She was getting her info not from some giftedness, but from evil spirits. Now, she didn't have the theology to understand that. The people of Philippi didn't have the theology to understand that. But you and I, who study the Bible, should understand that. This was a young woman who genuinely was in touch with the spirit realm. Tons of people who try and predict the future and serve as palm readers, fortune tellers, astrologers, etc., are not getting good info from the other side. They are just pure con artists, okay? But there are people who really do have a connection with the spirit realm. And they can sometimes say and do amazing things. Well, that sounds kind of cool. Well, no, it's really not cool. It's cool like cancer, okay? Because it is evil, and it is deadly, and it is bondage. And the people who get in touch with those spirits are opening themselves up to forces that are more intelligent and have been around a whole lot longer than they have. And so they may seem impressive for a while, but in the end, those forces will destroy you. And that's why God says, don't have anything to do with them. They are a counterfeit. They are a substitute for learning to walk in the Holy Spirit. So, this woman was in touch with evil spirits. And how did they manifest in her in this story? She followed Paul and Silas around, calling out loudly, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, and they are bringing you the way of salvation. These men are the servants of the Most High God, and they are bringing you the way of salvation. These men are the servants of the Most High God, and they are bringing you the way of salvation." And she did it for days. You can see why Paul was annoyed. It's not just an unpleasant sound, but it's a confusing message. Jesus said that when Satan lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But don't think that Satan never tells the truth. Satan and his forces will tell the truth in order to get you to believe a lie. Like a lot of liars, they mix truth with the lie in order to give the lie credibility. Now, what she was saying was true. These men are the servants of the Most High God, and they are bringing the way of salvation. So what's wrong with that? If we set it to music, it might win awards. There are a lot of folks who listen to stuff, whether it's sermon or song, and they say, well, I'm just going to go by the words. Don't just go by the words. There's a spirit behind the music. Here's the way it works. If I proclaim the truth to you in a way that ultimately undermines your belief in that truth, I've accomplished Satan's purpose. So suppose I lecture you about the importance of self-control. And don't manifest self-control in my life, but in fact, quite the opposite. Okay? If I waddle up here weighing 550 pounds and I want to talk to you about self-control and discipline, the takeaway for you is that self-control stuff is bogus. That guy doesn't do what he says. Right? If I'm lecturing you on love and I'm impatient and unkind, is that going to make you believe that love is the most important thing? No. You're going to say, don't give me that love stuff. I haven't experienced it. If I become an enormously successful, famous preacher who preaches orthodoxy and insists on the importance of staying true to the scriptures and true to God, and then you find out that I'm having multiple adulterous affairs, who has accomplished his purpose? Probably the one who helped me become enormously famous. Because I've just caused people to be disillusioned and turn away from the truth. If their eyes were on me instead of on the Lord. Because let me tell you something, God doesn't fail. God never lies. But the devil will cause people to speak the truth in order to undermine the truth. And that's what was happening here. You understand that? So what she was saying was literally true, but the message that was coming across was a lie. And so Paul turned, follow me here, Paul turned to her and said, "You loud-mouthed woman, why don't you shut up?" Is that what he did? He didn't speak to her. He spoke to that spirit. You understand? She wasn't the problem. She was a pawn. She was a slave. She was demonized. Paul recognized the evil spirit that was at work, spoke directly to that spirit, commanded it to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. And I love the fact it says, and the spirit came out right away. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. And all the demons know it. The devil himself knows that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he's going to spend forever in eternal torment. He knows that. So he wants to drag as many people into the pit with him as he can. Paul casts the spirit out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't do it the first time he got irritated. He did it after days. I wonder what it was. Did Paul just run out of patience? I don't think so. What was the secret of Jesus' power and authority? He did what the Father told him to do. And so what is Paul doing here? He is walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit says, now's the time, he does what God tells him to do.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, when her owners realized that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Because they had a good thing going. They were making a lot of money. Now they can't do that with her. So they grab Paul and Silas, they drag them to the authorities, and the authorities are willing to listen to the business community. I mean, there's no trial. They just hear the charge from these slave masters. And based on that, the crowd joins in and the chief magistrates strip off their clothes and have them beaten with rods. And they're beaten so badly that the next day, when the Lord's setting them free from prison, the jailer is washing their wounds. They had open wounds from the beating. That's how severely they were beaten. Okay? And after they were beaten, they were taken to the jail, thrown in jail, and the jailer told, secure them, don't let them get away, don't let anything happen to them. So he puts them in the innermost cell. The worst place you could be in the jail is the innermost cell. Okay? I mean, the innermost cell is surrounded by the other cells. You're in a place where the air circulation is not. It is the pit. It is where the worst of the worst are put. And they are not only put in that cell, but they are locked in stocks. That is to say, if you've seen in a movie or something where these people are sitting there on the floor and their feet and ankles are protruding through a wooden thing that holds them in place so they can't move around. Okay? They can't even stand up. And their back is bleeding from the beating. Well, you don't sleep like that. So what do? Complain. Hey, you don't know who you're dealing with here. We're Roman citizens. We're going to sue you. Is that what they were doing? When you're in this kind of a situation, the right thing to do is exactly what they did. They praised God. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They weren't singing to the prisoners. What would you all like? Show tunes? What would be your favorite? You like hip-hop? No, they weren't singing to the prisoners. They were doing what Christians do. They were singing to the Lord. Okay? Worshiping the Lord. Now, the Bible also tells us when we're filled with the Spirit, we can speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. So I'm not saying you don't also communicate with other people. I'm saying when you're in this kind of a situation, you want to just worship God. So that's what they're doing. And the prisoners are listening. They don't have a choice. And an angel appeared to them and said, guys, you're doing great. I want you to know God says he's proud of you. And I just want you to understand, in a few minutes, there's going to be an earthquake. But don't be afraid. This is happening for your good. Is that what happened? Did I just skip over those verses or did I make those verses up? Okay. There's no indication that they had any heads up from God. They are worshiping the Lord in a miserable situation around midnight, and all of a sudden, it's like, it can't get any worse, right? What else could possibly go wrong? Well, how about an earthquake? That's what happened. No warning, just suddenly the whole building is shaking, and it's shaking so greatly that the foundations are shaking, and the doors of the cells start swinging open. Now, if you were there and you'd never read this story, they'd never read this story. They didn't have a copy of the book of Acts, okay? They just had to trust God in the midst of this. And so they're worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden, the building starts falling down in the dark. You remember the jailer had to call for lights. They're in the dark, in the middle of the night. They don't have a watch. They can't look and say, oh, man, it's midnight. No. The jailer will know what time it is when he comes down there. But I mean, this is an unexpected, seeming disaster that God has sent for their deliverance. Many, many, many times in the scriptures and in history and in my life, and I would suspect in several of yours, things that seemed like disasters were sent by God for our good. It's like, oh, I can't believe that happened. I was trying to keep a positive attitude. I'm trying to praise the Lord in the dark, and this happens. Well, keep praising the Lord because he's still on the throne and he's working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And so the gates swing open and the jailer, seeing that, thinks everybody's escaped. I'm going to get killed. Let me do it to myself. He's about to kill himself. And he must have said something to indicate that. Because Paul calls out and says, don't harm yourself, we're all here. I love this. Paul's in charge of the prison all of a sudden. You understand that? You got a bunch of other prisoners, their cell doors have swung open, and Paul's like, Don't move, anybody. Stay where you are. And everybody stays. Paul says, we're all here. So the jailer calls for lights, that is torches. And he comes and he brings Paul out. And he takes him into his house. And he washes their wounds. But before he does that, he has a question. How can I be saved? Have you ever come to the point in your life where you ask that question? Have you ever realized that you need to be saved? Or are you still blissfully ignorant, just swinging along life's road, thinking that everything's good? If you don't know Jesus, it's not good. If you don't know Jesus, you need to be saved. This guy, when he threw them in that cell and put their feet in stocks, was just concerned about protecting himself. Now he's concerned about bigger things. I don't think he understood the nature of salvation. I don't think he understood the sovereignty of God. I don't think he understood the Jewish sacrifices pointing to the Lamb of God. He just knew, I need what you've got. Okay? Help! Save me! What can I do? If you want to be saved, look to Jesus. Trust in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And the same goes for your household. It's not, that's a special plan for you. The other folks are going to have to go through more of a process. No, the only way anybody anywhere can be saved is to trust Jesus. You trust Jesus, you'll be saved. So, he did. He trusted Jesus and therefore, he and his household were baptized. And there was great rejoicing. The next morning, the officials sent word, okay, you can let those guys go. And Paul says, that's not the way it works. You totally violated our rights as Roman citizens. Roman citizens? Do you know what they could get for having done this to Roman citizens? The same thing done to them. They had abused citizens of Rome without a trial, and so now they could be subjected to being stripped, beaten, imprisoned. The magistrates were suddenly very nervous, and they came as Paul instructed them to, and they led Paul and Silas out of the jail and said, okay, guys, we are really sorry, but would you please leave town? Now, why did Paul do that? If Paul was concerned about his rights for his sake, why didn't he bring this up when they first were about to beat him? He could have said, you can't do this. We haven't had a trial, and we're citizens of Rome. His concern was not to protect himself. His concern was he's going to be leaving the church in Philippi. And the magistrates need to know these people have rights. You better not mistreat them because you've already messed it up with me and you don't want to get in trouble for what you did. And so Paul, for the sake of the gospel, was willing to stand up for his rights as a Roman citizen and Silas's rights as a Roman citizen. But it wasn't to avoid what had already happened. It was in order to protect those who would follow. That is a real good model for us. We should not be concerned about doing whatever we have to do to make sure that we don't go through suffering. But we should be concerned about the rights versus the suffering of others. And it is good to use law and government in order to protect the innocent and allow for the ongoing spread of the gospel.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.